kickstart your memories on Fawlty Towers. We're going to watch one of the funniest clips from that. And you'll be amazed how much like Basil Trevor looks. It's quite uncanny, really. So just watch what I think was one of the funniest clips. There's one or two jumps. I've had to take swear words out, but there's one or two jumps. Much to do with what I'm going to talk about, but it was funny, we have to admit it. But I will vaguely bring it in later on. Now, I don't want you all to go, oh, you know, it'll be so obvious when I've manipulated things so I can bring it in later on. But never mind. Just play ball with me. I'm getting old. Don't worry about it. Right. For many people, Christmas is the best time of the year. Who can say that? Who thinks Christmas is the best time of year? None of you. Most of you. But for others, to be honest, it can be the saddest time of year. If you've lost a loved one around Christmas time, naturally, it's going to be the saddest time of year. And however you feel about Christmas, the message of Christmas is essential, whether you're happy or sad round about that time. The message is essential. The big story of the Bible, the unified theme of the Bible, makes it clear that the Christmas story is essential. And I just want to read, I thought there would have been a longer reading, but I just want to read from Luke 2, verses 10 to 11, when the angels appear to the shepherds out in the fields, and Luke says this in chapter 2, verse 10, starting at verse 10, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" So the Christmas message is, first and foremost, it's good news and it's great joy. Right? Good news, great joy. Now, why should that be? And the angel answers that in the following verse. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David," that's Bethlehem, "a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord." The good news of great joy is that at Christmas time, a Saviour is sent. And that is good news. Which means that we need saving. God sent a Saviour, and it's good news of great joy. It means we need a Saviour. So why is that? Well, we need to go right back to the beginning of the Bible. God created the earth as a paradise, if you remember right in Genesis. But the first human beings, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God. And sin entered the world. Sin became a part of human nature. And I was going to read from Romans 7, but it was too complicated. I didn't understand it. So I'll just summarise it. Paul is actually saying, sin became a part of our human nature. Sin lives in me, the great apostle said. And he said, all the good things that I want to do, all the good stuff, I don't do because of sin. And all the bad stuff that I don't want to do, some of it I do because of sin in my human nature. So that's where we all are. We're all born into this world with sin as part of our human nature, meaning that we can't do the good that we want to do, and we do the bad that we don't want to do. And it reminded me of a great author, just post-war, I think, one of my heroes. Anybody remember George Orwell? Yeah? Great author, journalist and political activist. He wrote many books. You remember 1984, the film? Big Brother. Yeah, that was one of his books. His earlier writing was actually called The Road to Wigan Pier. he actually lived in Wigan, did George Orwell, this famous author and journalist. He lived in Wigan, and that caused him to write this book, The Road to Wigan Pier. And he was horrified by the living conditions of people in Wigan at that time, just post-war. And he said quite clearly in this book, the only hope for the working classes, that's the term he used, is communism. That's the only hope. Why can they not see it? The poor and the disadvantaged will only be liberated by communism. And one of his later writings, Animal Farm, anybody do that for school? Yeah. Animal Farm? The story of Animal Farm is interesting. It's this farm that's supposed to be like a country or whatever. And it's a wicked farmer who rules this farm. Yeah? And in the end, the animals, who are obviously the working classes, get fed up with this farmer and kick him out. And they appoint the pigs to be the leaders of the farm. And you know, the pigs become worse leaders than the farmer ever did. Yeah? What was he saying? Even if the working classes throw the upper classes out and put their own leaders in place, they'll become worse leaders than what we had before. And do you know why he said that? Because he said, there is something in human beings that prevents us from being kind to one another. Always makes us greedy. Always makes us selfish. So there's no chance whatsoever that there'll be an equal distribution of wealth. Because the rich will always be greedy and want to keep it for themselves. And that paralleled my journey. I was in the Communist Party. But eventually I started reading the Bible. And I came to see that that something in human beings was what the Bible calls original sin. It's that sin that's in us. Prevents us from doing the right thing. Prevents us from being totally good. Prevents us from doing the good things, and encourage us to do the bad things that we don't want to do. So the effects of sin are widespread. Spiritually, sin separates us from God. You can't even stand to look on sin. You can't even stand to look on us as we are in our natural selves. We're spiritually dead. We cannot bring ourselves back to spiritual life. It's impossible. When you see a dead body... I was going to do the dead parrot sketch, by the way. Next time I'll do that. Yeah, it would have been good, that. If you see a dead parrot, we'll change it. If you see a dead parrot, there's no way that dead parrot can resurrect itself. Yeah, it can't do it. And when we are spiritual dead, there's no way we can resurrect ourselves spiritually. We're spiritually dead. Here we come, no guffaws. We're like Basil Fawlty's car. It can't restart itself. And if God hadn't have taken action, we would have been spiritually dead. We'd have been like Basil Fawlty's car, not able to go, not able to restart ourselves. But thankfully, God isn't like Basil Fawlty. God doesn't verbally threaten and abuse us. Yeah, I cut out some really nasty words in that bit there. He was really threatening and abusing that car. God doesn't come and thrash us with a tree branch. Come on, be righteous. It's not how God operates. He doesn't operate like Basil Fawlty. How did he do it? God is a God of love. He sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to earth. Yes, first of all, there's a little baby. And Christmas isn't complete without the Easter story of the death of that little baby. And that little baby is God Almighty, creator of the universe, who took on human form, became vulnerable and was murdered by us. That's how much God loves you. And God did all that so that we can be brought back to spiritual life, that we can have a relationship with God. And you know, no matter what the world throws at us, we still have hope because we have a Saviour. And I read this a few weeks ago. It was actually in a theological paper, strangely enough. It was by John Piper. And he said this: last night, little Eric Larson, Glenn and Patty's almost 2-year-old, died in his crib in hospital. We sat stunned as we held him. One of the things Patty said through her tears was, "How do people bear it who have no hope?" As I was leaving later, I passed through the lobby and down the hall. I heard a person sobbing, great heaving sobs, and saw two people in each other's arms. And I wondered, do they have hope? You can't tell from the sobs. The hopeful and the hopeless both sob when someone precious is amputated from their lives. The difference is mainly on the inside. see Glenn and Patty, whose son had just died. They were obviously devastated, they were upset, but they had hope. They knew that one day they'd see little Eric again, their son. They'd be reunited with him because they had that hope of eternal life because of what Jesus did on the cross for them. So yes, the Christmas story is essential. Whether you like Christmas or not, the story is essential. It's the start of God's rescue plan. His rescue plan to save us, to give us a hope. And that's why it's good news of great joy. Because without it, we are doomed and we have no hope. So what is our response? How can we be brought back to spiritual life? How can we enter into a relationship with God, seeing as all the sinners and God can't even look on sin? How can we have hope for the future, for all eternity? How can we have hope that we'll see our loved ones again? Well, don't be like Basil in our play. Don't turn Jesus away because he just seems to be a little baby. So, do you have to be a superman or a superwoman? A person who's absolutely good and perfect, who never kicks a dog or shouts at a child? Yeah, no, those things aren't good, obviously. But that's not the yardstick. The yardstick is, have you asked God into your life? Have you said, Father, I can't cope. I can't do this anymore. I can't make it on my own. I want you to take over my life. I want you to let Jesus come into my life and make me into the person you created me to be. Eh? A person with faults, yeah, but a person loved by God. A person with a joy because of that hope that's in us. All you need to do is just pray to God the Father to allow Jesus to come into your life and change you from the inside, to give you a hope, to give you a future, to give you great joy, to give you an exciting life. A life that, yeah, still sins, but a life where that sin is forgiven. The Apostle Paul, the greatest apostle in my opinion, one of the greatest writers in the Bible, he was a sinful person. It was him who was saying, the good that I do, that I would do, I don't do. The bad that are evil that I want to do, I don't do. He's the one who said that. But he was one of God's greatest apostles who had a great hope for the future. So let's just pray. And if God isn't in your life, just pray with me. And if God is in your life, just pray with me as well. Don't harm to do it twice or three times or four times. And if you really want to pray with somebody, we will have people at the back, we'll have Paul at the back and other people who will pray with you if you want to consider the Christian faith further. So Father, I do realise what a mess my life is in. I do realise what a sinner I am. I do realise that sometimes I want to do good and I can't. And I realise that sometimes I want to stand away from evil, but I can't. I do it anyway. Father, I just pray that I'm helpless without you. Pray that you will resurrect me spiritually. I pray that Jesus will come into my life and change me from the inside out. And change me by the power of your Holy Spirit into your child. Dearly beloved, a child with a hope and a future for all eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Don't forget, if you said that prayer along with me, then have a word with Paul and other people at the back and they'll pray with you. So, we'll carry on.